Michael McHenry joins us right now. Michael, we're watching some video that's on Sportsnet Pittsburgh right now of you catching to James McDonald. I don't know when that year was, but we what? Saw a home run by Aramis Ramirez, and then we saw an umpire behind you, Wally Bell, get hit by a foul ball. It's like I'm trying to go back and what year is this, Austin? Have you seen
2011 or 2012? I think it's got to be 2012. And Pedro Alvarez was placed on the eye on the the disabled list.
Disabled
back
list back then.
Oh, that's a bad day then.
It goes fast, doesn't it?
But guys, I have I got some breaking news that I want to throw at you. Just announced.
What is it?
Just announced by the Pirates, and it sounds like Michael knows what it is. O'Neill Cruz will participate in the Home Run Derby, Bob.
Good.
How about that?
It's going to have the reverse effect. Most people go there and lose their swing. He's going to gain his swing back by doing it. I like that. Do
Michael, what's your immediate reaction?
Bob, I completely agree. I did know, but I'm excited. I was hoping that would be the case. I mean, he's a freak, and I think you put your freaks on display, and this guy is a guy that should be in the Home Run Derby. I think, just to Bob's point, I think it's going to be something that puts him in a stratosphere maybe we don't understand, because he's a special talent. There's something going on, whether he's playing through something. Something has to be going on. He's just in between, and it's more in his head than it is with his swing. I think getting on the national stage, doing what he can do, good, bad, or ugly, I think he could easily win it and do things that we've never seen before. But, man, I'm so stoked to watch him hit a ball to Turner Field.
Yeah, I mean, he has that swing. And maybe, Michael, I think one of the problems he's gotten into is trying to – always hit that velo, you know, always hit a line drive or a long mammoth home run, and he tries to swing too hard. While this is fine for the Home Run Derby, I think on an everyday basis, he has enough power in his bat that he doesn't have to do that. I think if he just swings within himself, the ball carries well enough when he hits it, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, he can miss hit balls that most guys can't even hit normally. So, yeah, I think he's – for me – you know, you can see that, and I think that's the frustration, but it's the non-commitment to his approach on a given day. He's had more looking strikeouts, if I looked at it right now, this year than he did all of last year, and you could maybe even do the last 2 years combined. This guy's been a swing-first guy his entire career. It seems like right now he's a take-first guy, and that usually has to do with more a mental issue than it actually does a physical issue. So I hope getting into this Home Run Derby – and maybe even just the announcement of it or practicing it, you can't swing hard because it's timed. And it's not 10 outs anymore. You have to kind of pace yourself. And this is a guy that I think that's going to help a ton, just like you said. And there's a chance he does things like a 124 off the bat, 500-plus foot home run. It really just depends on what he wants to do that day. But he also could literally elevate a kid off the ground if they try to catch one of his line drives in the outfield.
I'm going to put a futures bet on him to win the whole thing now, because I think he has the power and the swing to do it, especially as you just cited that it's about pacing yourself. But that'll be fun to watch. I want to ask you, though, Michael, about last night, because Noah Cameron, you know, you talked about swinging and misses. The Pirates did a lot of that against this lefty who is, you know, pretty good about changing speeds, and they were chasing a lot of pitches out of the strike zone, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about 18 whiffs on the day, and you know, they quantify, you know, dead center as a neat ball. But if you get outside the zone a little bit further than just around the edges, they call it the chase zone. And this guy threw about 14 pitches in the chase zone that we swung at. And that's not good. You got to figure out how to rein that in. And if you look back at last night's game, it was the called strikes. It was the early strikes that I think put us in those favorable pitching counts for him to, you know, put together a good sequence of pitches to get us to swing at those pitches way out of the zone. That's not something we normally do. We only struck out 7 times against him, but over the last 4 games, we struck out 44 times. And that's an identity we haven't had and we cannot create because we don't have enough power to combat that. We're a team that needs to put a lot of balls in play, you know, create running game, do small ball. We're going to hit our occasional home runs. But that last night was an actual gem by a rookie. And, you know, they say between him and Jacob Wilson right now are the rookie of your favorites in the American League.
Now, Michael, I think that sometimes we don't factor in the emotional side of just playing the game and going through the course of 162 and kind of treat players as robots on occasion. And I wonder what the emotional toll, I mean, it never happened before, But sweeping St. Louis and not giving up a run and then getting swept and not scoring a run, what are those highs and lows like over the course of a season?
You know, I think if they would have played immediately, I think the highs would have helped. I think that off day and flying across country and then playing a day game, which I don't know if I've ever seen after an off day, going from East Coast to West Coast, I think it gets lost, you know, because you reset out on those off days. And when they went out west, I think that it was just another day, and you forget kind of what you just did for six games, where, like, you know, maybe they need to put it on repeat in the clubhouse of the highlights of those games and remind them, like, how good they were. I don't know, but it's such a long season. You know, you do it in series when you think about it. Like, the three-game, four-game series is kind of how you survive. You survive the series. Can you, you know, win 2-2 in a four-game series? That's a win sometimes when the other team's a better team. And then how many series can you actually walk away from and win? When you sweep them, you don't forget them. But it's easy to get lost in the fact that, like, the next series is next up immediately. But when you have that off day, I think you just forget.
Mike, what do you think about Andrew Heaney? He's when he's on, man, he seems to be in such a groove. But when he's not, things go in a different direction. Last night he wasn't. What was his biggest problem last night?
Yeah, he couldn't land anything other than the fastball, and his fastball wasn't playing the way it has in the past. You know, one thing he's really struggled with over the last probably five or six starts, he's been able to combat it a couple times, and obviously he had that mix in incredible start in his last start prior to the one last night, is getting to the glove side. You know, the way he released the ball so horizontally, it creates such a weird look when you can get it away from lefties and into righties, and that also helps with his breaking ball. When you can get extension with the fastball, it's always going to help you get on top of your breaking balls, and that's what I've seen the most, and I think when he can't get that, it throws off. You can tell the mechanics are thrown off, and it throws off his entire game plan, and instead of being the aggressor, he becomes almost like just trying to survive till he figures it out, and for some reason, that just hasn't been the case where he can have a six-inning start where he gives up three or four. It's just been a lot louder than that, or he's been pushed out of the game because he can't throw strikes because he's scared to, you know, throw a meatball down the plate and give up a homer.
Well, I also look at this team now, and he was one of the guys I thought of as, you know, a guy who could bring something, anything in return. I don't know if I feel that way now. 100. Are there a lot of guys, you know, feeling that right now? Because there are a lot of guys with expiring contracts, and typically those are the guys that are moved. And just your overall take of what the Pirates are trying to do with this trade deadline.
Yeah, I think he's still super valuable. He's been so consistent, and he'll have another, you know, 5-6 start stretch without question that's really, really good, unless he's pitching with some element we don't know. Yeah, I mean, everybody knows. I think the toughest ones are the guys that are under contract or that have been here the longest, you know, like Mitch Keller, Bednar. Those guys, you do wonder how it's affecting them mentally. You know, like, Keller's pitching today, his name is everywhere, and you got to think this could be his last start as a Pirate. He doesn't know. So does he put extra pressure on himself? Because the psychological side of this isn't talked about enough. And the reality of it is, he has a home here. He had his firstborn child here. He came to the big leagues here. He failed here. He's succeeded here. He's an all-star here. You can never take that away. I think there's something to be said to have that and root that down. It tells free agents, it tells minor league guys that get to the big leagues that, hey, we take care of our guys. And two, I think you get the most out of guys when they feel comfortable and when they feel cared about. A lot of times when you leave, you do feel cared about at first when you get traded, but then it shifts real fast because, once again, you become a number. You're not really a human being. And I've never seen a number win a World Series. So I'm going to bet on these humans.
Michael, one thing I'm curious about is, I mean, we talked about David Bednar before and the fact that you think that he would, you know, that he would want to stay here and want to sign here. And it's funny because, Michael, you are currently batting on this 2011 broadcast right now that we are watching.
Oh, let's do
watching.
The little play-by-play of Michael McHenry.
Michael, you're up.
Baby Michael.
Bottom of the second
baby
inning.
Baby Michael, look, it is on. A younger Michael McHenry. No beard whatsoever.
Lyle Overbay, yeah. And Josh Harrison wearing number 62 just batted. How about that?
I forgot they had Overbay on this team.
Oh, Michael, you're going to fly ball to right.
It's going to drop. No, oh. A diving catch. You do remember this? The right fielder bailed out Lopez, and you were denied two RBI.
Yeah, I mean, just good positioning, I guess. They got lucky. That's all it is.
We talked about Bednar. We've talked about Bednar before, but what do you think Dennis Santana, like when relievers get moved, what do you think Santana could potentially bring back? And do you think that that's a possibility that he could be somebody that goes? Or do you think that it'd be more valuable to keep Santana for next year when the Pirates could be in contention?
Yeah, I think that's very telling on how they kind of go about these next couple weeks. Yeah, I could see them. I mean, Santana's showing a stint of games and time where, like, it's real. And he, if, like most of us in the big leagues, this time is precious. So being comfortable and having success, yeah, like, you want that. And all you really ever try to do is try to be somewhere longer than a minute to a year. You want to stay there as long as you can. So, yeah, he may be a guy that they could approach, sign him a two-year deal, and that tells the fan base, hey, we believe moving forward we're going to win. Also, same could be said if you trade him, because he could net you maybe the biggest return. You look at what Chapman got when it was in Kansas City. I don't think he's Chapman, but let's take one step back. I mean, this guy is a top five in almost every category when it comes to reliever and numbers, and it's not like he's unproven. I mean, he's on year seven. So, yeah, maybe he nets us, you know, a Reagan like they got, who was maybe the best pitcher over a 30-game stretch in the American League at one point. So it's going to be interesting. I'm really intrigued to see what they do. I think any return is a good return on some of the guys that we're not going to have back. But guys like Santana, like, you have to really think about it. Bednar, you have to really think about it. How do you replace a two-time All-Star, a guy that pitched in the World Baseball Classic, a guy that's from Pittsburgh, a two-time Clemente Award finalist or winner, I can't remember exactly, and a guy that, you know, literally is your community liaison in almost every way. That's a lot tougher to replace than Santana, in my mind. So it's going to be really, really intriguing to see how they do this.
Michael, I wanted to ask you what your thought on with guys who have years left on contracts. Keller's name is all over the place, but he does have 3 years left on the contract, which I think is good for the Pirates too. I mean, you're trying to build around a pitching staff, and he is a big part of it already. If you lose him, now you're going to put, you know, pressure on a lot of other guys to come up and take that spot. He has 3 years left. Is that advantageous to the Pirates to keep him, or do you think because he has 3 years, he's more attractive to other teams who know that he has 3 years, and they know exactly what the price tag is, and they don't have to worry about the next 2 years because he's already signed?
Yeah, it is a catch 22 when you say it like that. Every team sees it, and he's gonna, if he does even close to what he's doing now, you know, over the next 3 years, we slam dunked on that. But what I would say is this: we have Andrew Heaney, who's really done an incredible job of innings. Keller's been the guy that's been steady Eddie, even when he's not been at his best. He gets five innings in. We watched Heaney go three innings last night. We've only seen Mitch Keller do that one time in the last 3 years.
Right.
And he didn't want to come out. And I think the value of that cannot go under the table, because if you bring up a Bubba Chandler, they're going to protect him. You bring up a Barco, they're going to protect him. They're still protecting schemes. Jones comes back, they're going to be protecting him. Oviedo comes back, they're going to protect him. So who gets the innings? Falter's got a short leash. Like, you look at it and you're like, oh, wow, he may be way bigger than we think. And it's really, that's the plan. They got it. They're putting it together. They always, you know, put every analysis possible to this thing, and they come out with the best plan possible. That's why it's so intriguing to me, because there is a consequence no matter what you do, and there's a benefit to no matter what you do. But you're making a choice, and you're saying something very loud if you trade Mitch Keller or Bednar, because, you know, they're going to get a great return. But there's going to be a consequence there because they're irreplaceable in Pittsburgh.
Michael, do you miss pitchers hitting? Bob was just pointing to the TV.
I was just pointing out James McDonald.
James McDonald was batting. Yep. Do you miss that? Do you miss the strategy portion of the component of the game now that pitchers are no longer hitting?
You know, I really do. I do not miss watching James McDonald hit. But I do miss him talking about how he could hit, and then watching him after he hit was always funny. But yeah, I really do, because, like, I'll tell a story about Jeff Carstens. He would go up there, and his goal was to see seven pitches. And sometimes I think if guys that are actually position players just went up and tried to see seven pitches, you're going to win that at bat. And that's the coolest part, is those guys just went up and competed. I do miss the bunt. I do miss action more consistently. So, yeah, I wish that was part of it. I think it'd be really good for the game to see Paul Skenes hit every now and then. But, you know, I'd love to see Jared Jones. Think about that little fireball at the plate would be fun.
You and Jonathan Mayo said a couple of really fascinating things. We talked about Connor Griffin a little bit, and I like how you guys broke it down in the pregame show. And Jonathan at the end said that he wouldn't be surprised if the Pirates fast-tracked Griffin to potentially be here by the end of next year. You discussed some of the swing breakdowns yesterday on some of the adjustments that he's made. Is there anything that you're surprised about with the way that Griffin has been able to grow? And do you think that's realistic by the end of next year he could be here?
The pace, how fast he's doing it is remarkable. I mean, I saw this kid at 16, 17 years old with USA Baseball. He was a athletic freak. The way he could run, jump, even the way he looked, his presence was real. There was a giant hole, especially with high velocity up in the zone, and he tried to combat that in the offseason. What he did didn't work, and immediately about 2 weeks in the season, he pushed his hands back, got in a better position, made himself more athletic, moved better, and boom, hitting is off the charts. But to your point, my biggest wow is his defense at shortstop. People are raving about it. The arm could easily be an 80-grade arm. But this guy is special in every single way. The character, the athleticism, everything that you want in a first-round pick, he had. I think they've done an incredible job with that across the board, every pick they've had since Sherrington's come here. He may be the biggest one that they slam dunk on in the end. And that's even more than Skeens, because everybody – that wasn't a hard pick. This one was, you know, you had Bryce Rainer, who probably by every scout standard was a higher floor, but nowhere near the ceiling. And we didn't take him. We took Connor Griffin. I think it's going to be the best decision they've ever made. And I think he's going to be something we don't even understand, because his potential, you can say Witt, you can say Trout, you can say Harper, wow, you can say things like that, because that's how talented he is. But he's actually putting it together.
A bigger
defense, guys.
Bigger
wow.
decision than Skeens? Like a better pick?
No, because I think he's talking about Skeens position players, too. And also
no,
somebody.
I'm just saying, like, the pick. Yeah. Like, Skeens, we had 1-1.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to pick the best player that's done things that no one's ever done. Obviously, they had to decide if they want to go a different way. But, like, Connor Griffin was, you know, on some people's top 10. But he was number one in that draft when it came to athletic ability and what he could possibly do on a baseball field. But it was also like, it's going to take time. And that's not going to be the case, because yeah, this guy put it together. And that's the dream. So it could be special. I mean, Mike Trout was 24th overall. So it's kind of like thinking about it in that sense. Kershaw was in the teens. And you think about how good those players are. We may have just got our next McCutcheon is what we may have just gotten.
Well, that, if you can live up to that, I'll take that for sure. One final question for you, Michael. From a catcher's point of view, you've watched Henry Davis. You've watched Joey Bart. I didn't expect Bart to have such a regression this season in his offensive power numbers, but he has. How would you play those two the rest of the way?
I'd split their time and try to set them up the best I can in regards to their relationship with the pitchers and also their success. Like any lefty on the mound, I love seeing Bart play because I think the confidence is there. His numbers, even when he's not playing particularly well, are still good against lefties, and he's one of the best on our team against lefties outside touch. So, yeah, I'd love to see him split time. I think Henry Davis needs more time. He needs more bats. He needs more opportunity. He's shown that he can be really good behind the plate defensively, and I think the more bats he gets, the more understanding of himself in the big leagues is really going to help. And I think, you know, Bart, it would help with the workload. You know, he took that concussion. He's never been the everyday guy. And he's losing his legs, falling in the ball a little bit. And that's natural for guys that haven't caught all the time. He'll never make that excuse. He's trying to figure it out. But, yeah, I'd love to see him catch, you know, fire and Henry catch fire. And they just start to split time and especially set them up to where they can have success at the plate. Because I think both of them are doing a pretty good job behind the plate. And Henry's doing incredible behind the plate in the sense of where everybody thought he was about a year ago.
Michael McHenry, always appreciate the time, and have a good rest of the season. You're doing a great job with the breakdowns and everything I watch on television, so keep up the good work, man.
I appreciate it, and go get us a win. Little Michael needs a win today, all right?
They need to just do something here. Yeah, get some more offense going, however it takes. They need Michael McHenry back in the lineup with that four home run that Greg Brown described. That's what you make a comeback, Michael. What would that look like?
It would look like a no. I love coaching it now, and I love talking about it and helping these guys. But, yeah, playing it, I still want to love it. So playing it doesn't sound very fun at a professional level.
Well, have a great day, Michael. Thank you for your time. We always appreciate it. All right, that's Michael McHenry.
Thanks, Michael.
Appreciate it. Fan Twitter, by the way, is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You could visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And the fan hotline is sponsored by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider over 50 years. We're back with more right here on the Pomp and Joe Show. Austin Bechtel behind the glass. He'll have a headline next.
And in this headline, Bob, we'll tell you that O'Neill Cruz is going to take part in the 2025 Home Run Derby in Atlanta. Cruz joins a field that also includes Cal Raleigh, who leads the major leagues in home runs. Raleigh hitting home runs number 34 and 35 on the 4th of July against the Buccos, leading up to the series sweep of the Pirates, who will play tonight in Kansas City. It's a 7:40 first pitch, and our coverage begins at 6:45, presented by Keystone Custom Apparel. Mitch Keller on the mound. More headlines, 93.7thefan.com. Headlines are powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville.